beat Great Britain 50 points to 12, scoring 12 tries to 2. The reports about Johnny Raper's performance that day make it a must-see.
Was it at Old Trafford? I thought it was at Swinton.
It was Swinton, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember the ground.
Yeah.
People sitting right on the touchline.
That's right.
And on the
dead
ball line, everything.
I think Australia scored 12 tries that day, and John Raper was involved in 11 of them.
Yeah. Didn't Reg Gasnier come to pieces out wide?
Yeah, it would have been that time. Yeah. Great memories. 13:53:53. We've got to go to the news before we go there. Question two from our China Doll long-time listener competition, and that is, why did Des Hasler arrive late to dinner during the course of the week? Sorba told us. Why did Des Hasler arrive late to dinner during the course of the week? That goes with our earlier question. And, of course, there will be one more in the next hour. You can win for yourself a $150 voucher courtesy of China Doll. News now. After the news, Craig Foster.
I'm Sarah Woomby. Fire crews have tried to make the most of the milder weather to contain bushfires raging in northern New South Wales, which have destroyed more than 20 homes. The mostly mild weather conditions over the weekend have provided much needed relief for the New South Wales Rural Fire Service, but the Tabula Mantinga fire continues to worry firefighters ahead of expected temperature increases tomorrow and Tuesday. Meantime, an emergency bushfire warning has been downgraded after residents were told to evacuate two small Queensland communities near the New South Wales border. Queensland Fire and Emergency Services previously urged residents in the towns of Wollongarra and Yuki to leave their homes. However, the warning was downgraded last night. Also, grant applications for emergency assistance are continuing to be assessed for Tasmanians affected by bushfires, despite the official application period having closed. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has rejected suggestions his government ran down the clock in Parliament last week to avoid a vote on a disability royal commission. Question time was unusually extended to over 2 hours on Thursday in what the opposition described as a tactic by the coalition to escape the second vote on the floor of the House of Representatives in a week. But the Prime Minister said the motion would pass tomorrow. Opposition leader Bill Shorten says he hopes that's what happens.
A royal commission, it's the best way, it's the king of all inquiries. We can do that and we can say to people with disability, here's another gap between the inequality and the equality, and we're going to bridge it.
An elderly woman has died after she was struck by a car in Sydney's west. The 74-year-old pedestrian was struck at an intersection in Lidcombe last night and died at the scene. A 21-year-old man driving the car has been taken to hospital for mandatory testing. A woman injured when her car rolled on a highway in outback South Australia is facing drug charges after police discovered ice in the vehicle. A 28-year-old woman was taken to hospital after the crash on the Barrier Highway near Yunta on Friday night. Police say they found about 250 grams of methamphetamine in the car before they arrested the woman in hospital, charging her with drug trafficking. Former US Cardinal Theodore McCarrick has been expelled from the Roman Catholic priesthood after he was found guilty of sexual crimes against minors and adults. Pope Francis decided the ruling, which followed an appeal by the man who was a power broker as Archbishop of Washington, D.C. from 2001 to 2006, was now final. Vatican spokesman Alessandro Gisotti says McCarrick is not allowed to appeal the decision.
Both abuse and its cover-up can no longer be tolerated, and the different treatment for bishops who have committed or covered up abuse, in fact, represents a form of clericalism that is no longer acceptable.
Briefly, 8 gold miners who were trapped underground for several days after heavy flooding in Zimbabwe have been rescued, with some of their co-workers still missing and feared dead. A university building has partly collapsed in the Russian city of St. Petersburg, trapping people under debris, and France's yellow vest protesters have taken to the streets for the 14th weekend in a row.
Border earlier this week. This is Air News.
Rival team bosses Jason Dunstall and Eddie Maguire are confident of a bumper crowd for today's All Melbourne BBL final between the Renegades and Stars. Only 15,000 fans attended the Renegades semi-final win at Marvel Stadium, and they will host the Stars at the same venue. There is only one change to the two squads for the final, with the Stars recalling Jackson Coleman for Nick Larkin. Sydney FC has beaten Perth Glory 4-2 in the W League Grand Final. Sydney FC captain Teresa Pelias says it's been a lot of hard work.
We've worked so hard for years. I mean, it's been 6 years since we did it, and to lead the team to the championship, I'm ecstatic, and it's probably the highlight of my footballing career, honestly.
In the A-League, there were wins for the Western Sydney Wanderers and Perth Glory. In women's basketball, Canberra has secured their eighth WNBL title with a 93-73 win over the Adelaide Lightning. And Bernard Foley has broken the Super Rugby points scoring record for the New South Wales Waratahs, but a costly late missed penalty has condemned his side to a 2019 opening round loss to the Hurricanes. Foley, who surpassed Matthew Burke's record of 959 points with a third minute penalty goal at Brookvale Oval, had landed all five of his earlier attempts last night. But with just over a minute left, the normally reliable pressure kicker failed to land a penalty from just beyond 30 metres. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Waterwise rules are in place when cleaning hard surfaces around your home. Use a broom or rake rather than hosing with water. Visit sydneywater.com.au. In Preston's, we've got a pile-up on the M7 approaching Camden Valley Way. Southbound traffic affected. Queues are about halfway back to Currajong Road at the moment. In Bella Vista, changed traffic conditions on Norwest Boulevard at Century Circuit Brook Hollow Avenue. Traffic lights have replaced the roundabout there. And in Surrey Hills, look out for special event clearways on Charmer Street between Cleveland and Devonshire Streets. Kmart has dropped prices on even more products, and they are here to stay. Head in store for incredible value across homewares, apparel and toys for the whole family. See website for details. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Look, I'm afraid I'm leaving you. I know you've always been so good to me. You're always there when I need you. And the fact is, I still really love you. But, this is about, I have to move on. The guys are already on the beach.
Hate saying goodbye to your radio? Download Radio App on your phone and take your favourite station anywhere. Radio App, free from the App Store and Google Play.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Easy day for the boys and girls at the BOM, must have something on. Sunny, winds northerly 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, turning northeasterly 15 to 25 kilometres an hour, early afternoon. Max, 29 degrees. Now, what about Narrabeen right now? You're right, Ronan?
Struggling here.
I tell you what, it's a tough decision to swallow coming out of the quiz there, but you're going to have to. Narrabeen right now, Nara through the day.
Try and get through here. Narrabeen currently 23 degrees, heading for a top temperature of 28.
Geez, an emotional rate, Thomas. That's coming into the final hour.
He's gone down the wrong way. And Nara heading for a beautiful sunny day, now heading for a top temperature of 32 degrees.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Final hour of the program. Welcome back to it. We are excited about our next hour. It's a big one. Craig Foster, former Socceroo, SBS football analyst, chief football analyst, in fact, and at the centre of the return of Hakeem Al-Harabi, which has been such a big story around the world. We'll have an A-League and EPL update with Phil Moss, and we'll speak to our Victorian, one of our two Victorian listeners that we had earlier, John from Melbourne is listening in as well. And we'll also have our third question for the China Doll long-time listener competition. 1353 is the open line number. Just before we get to Craig, there's lots to discuss around, and we're happy to do it. Jack de Bellen, whether he should be playing in the National Rugby League, both are believers that he should be. We also want to take the your
presumption
calls.
Presumption of innocence.
Presumption of innocence, absolutely. Yeah. We also want to take your calls on our talk topic today was if you could get into a time machine, where would you go? What would you see?
You said Bradman at Henley. You got a second one? Because there's so many, isn't there?
Yeah. I tell you what, the birth of World Series cricket, that'd be an interesting one. And that first game at the SCG when they got under lights, when they came back together again.
1977, 78,
I think so, was it?
One of our listeners mentioned Secretariat. The more I thought about it, I would have loved to have been there.
Yeah, you're a massive horse racing fan, aren't you? The first...
I didn't know that, He's 73 noise, Belmont,
The first State of Origin game.
Arthur Beetson,
I tell you what, I wasn't there live, but the 1989 Grand Final between the Raiders and the Tigers, that went into extra time.
That's the point about this. The more you think it, the more things you come up with. I wish I was there in that moment, you know what I mean? So it's just extraordinary.
I was there on, I think it's November 16, 2005, when Australia qualified.
Yeah.
And as I keep saying, for 150 minutes, there was a wall of sound. At the heart of that, calling the match. Quite famously, was our next guest, Craig Foster, and he's on the line. G'day, Craig.
Morning, guys.
Hey, look, there's been so much going on from a football point of view, so much going on from in your life. Let's get to the heart of it. How did the story, the issue, the incarceration of Hakeem first get on your radar that allowed you and encouraged you to take such an active part in it?
I think it might have been Pascavale, the club that reached out, or the PFA back then. I actually haven't gone back and really had a look, guys, but the PFA certainly got in touch at some point as a refugee ambassador for Amnesty and so on. It's obviously an issue that's close to my heart, and everyone knew that. And they just... I sent me some messages to say, look, this kid needs some help, and he's in pretty deep trouble. And when I looked at the political trouble that he was in particular, and the fact that no one was going to come to his aid from the AFC or elsewhere, we knew that he was in really, really serious trouble. So as an ex-player, I, and I think a lot of others, felt that we were obligated to help him.
Yeah, Craig, it's been remarkable what you and others, as you said, have been able to achieve. But why did this particular case resonate with the global football community?
I think a number of reasons, and probably the same reason that I got involved, was one that this is our game, and so therefore we feel a deep responsibility to help anyone within our sport. But this was a young man who was defenceless, who was innocent. Secondly, it's because he was a refugee, and I think there's many people in Australia and, of course, around the world who feel strongly about the plight of people who are vulnerable. And those of us who have a voice, like you two, we sit in a position where we talk to the public, and we've got social media, and we have the trust of a lot of people. We have a responsibility to use that for good, not just sit on air, and have fun and have a wonderful life. Thirdly, though, I think one reason is because of the football politics, and that's what really incensed me from day one. This kid was tortured. One of the royal family of Bahrain, who was either involved or at the very least did nothing as the president of the FA at that time, which is absolutely disgusting. He's now the AFC president, and this kid is incarcerated in Thailand. So it took about 2 seconds to realise that under the new human rights policy, everyone is supposed to step up here, all the football officials, and that is definitely not going to happen. Then you've got Infantino and all the money coming out of the Gulf. That's where all of his funding is coming from. So you know he's not doing anything until he's absolutely pushed over the line to do so, and that includes FIFA. So this young man was very much alone, and it was clear to us, or to me at least, that he was going to be collateral damage of the game. There was an election year as well, so Salmo was going for election, Infantino was going for election, the Australians involved in that, the FFA chairman was going for election, the Thai president of the Football Association was trying to become a vice president either. So you put that political context around him. He was incarcerated because of football politics, and football politics, in my personal view, was going to see him back in Bahrain and possibly dead. So it was former players who are independent, who are capable of cutting through all the politics and speaking honestly, but really his only hope.
Yeah, extraordinary.
You've outlined there what, from FIFA's point of view, from the FFA's point of view. It's clear when you get into a subject like this that you're going to be treading on toes. Do you consider your own personal cost when looking at this, Craig?
Yeah, that's a good question, but... Well, you're aware of it, and I guess you consider it in the sense that there are significant risks involved. But, you know, there was a play, you know, I'm 50 this year, right? And I've had a wonderful life, and I'm in a good position. You know, I do World Cups, and I do all these things.
And
I said to my wife through it, look, this is a young man. We need to do our absolute maximum to try and save his life. And if that affects us in all of these other ways, whether that's public reputation, and many of us had that on the line, but whether that's financially, then we have to bear that. There was also some issues around Bahrain and security. You know, these are pretty horrible people. So once you get involved in this and start fighting against a torturous regime, you know that you can have some blowback from that. But, you know, it's a kid's life. You know, he's got a young wife here. I had met her, and there was just no pulling back. And whatever the consequences were, we were... You know, as a family, we were happy to wear those, or we were willing to wear them. And in the end, we're delighted that, you know, for everyone, that it's been a positive outcome.
Yeah, more strength to you, Craig. What about Hakeem? I've seen in recent days he's talking positively about his future. He wants to try and get into the A-League, etc.
Yeah.
But how was he when you first were able to contact him and speak to him? How was his mental frame of mind? How was he viewing his position?
Yeah, that first trip to Bangkok was really important on a number of levels. One was to meet him, and he was in a horrible state.
Yeah.
He was extremely thin. He was in his prison, tunic type thing. They'd all come out. You know, it was my first time in an Asian prison, if you like. It was a pretty harrowing experience. Amnesty Australia had organised the security aspects of the trip, and by the time I went, I was absolutely scared stiff because of the security issues that they'd outlined. We had exit routes north and south out of Thailand, you know, had the passport on the whole time. So when I went to meet him, I think I was more scared than him.
Gee.
No, the poor kid was looking at me, and he was thinking, mate, you're the guy supposed to save me, right? And, you know, I was just saying, trying to impress on him the support that we had around the world for him, or that was just really starting to build at that time, and give him some confidence, give him some hope. He was just extremely concerned about his wife and mainly about going back to Bahrain. And he was just pleading and pleading and pleading, please don't let me go back. Please don't let me go back. I can't go back there. I'm going to die if I go back there. And I was just saying to him, look, I know that's the case. Here's a letter from your wife I showed him. Here's some examples of all of the social media that's occurring. Here's a couple of the petitions. It's unbelievable. And by the end, it's only 15 minutes, and then the buzzer goes, and the next group of people come in, prisoners come in, and the next group of family members. And in 15 minutes, by the end, I felt as though he was in a much better position. He knew that football was, and Australia was getting on board, really fighting for him, and it was good. But then when I went outside and spoke to the media, I was surprised that I was breaking down, because you ultimately, it's just a 25-year-old kid who had a whole royal family and government, well, actually on both sides, trying to get him back to torture him. And it sort of struck home the position that he was in. But I think it certainly gave me and everyone else, which I communicated to them, more motivation. We just said at that point, well, whatever is necessary here, and that meant travelling wherever, whenever, and putting whatever at risk. We have to get this kid out. We have to try and save his life.
Speak about putting things at risk. Saw the euphoric scenes of Hakeem's arrival back into Australia at the airport, and the thing that struck me most was how gaunt you looked.
No.
Have you
It's clearly taken a toll.
Well, yeah. But, you know, I'm perfectly fine. As we kept saying through it, it was very intense, 2.5 months. But and we didn't have much time to eat. That was simple. But, yeah, a lot of people have asked, thought I might be unwell. I'm not. It was just, we were just travelling and working and campaigning in social media all day long. And, and you just found that, you know, there was no time for meals. So that's fine. The main thing for him now, I think, is coming down from this, and we're really worried about him next week. And I think this Friday we'll all go down to Pasco Vale and we'll have a big big celebration for him. And, and there's some good plans around that, but look, I can't imagine what happens next week or a week after. So for all of us, it was a very intense time. But, you know, we kept saying to everyone, listen, don't feel sorry for yourself. This kid's sleeping on a concrete floor. He's in there with, you know, violent criminals or, you know, whatever they've done. And you've got to work 24 hours a day until we get him out.
Craig, this issue, I think, has made a lot of people sit up and take notice of you in particular and how you were able to network the global football community to help your cause. And a lot of people in Australian football would love to see you, I think, involved with the FFA in a high position. Will you reconsider potentially your position with the FFA?
Yeah, look, I'm always happy to help the game, as everyone knows, in our game. You know, I'll do whatever it's necessary to try and help Australian football. I always have, and it will until I'm incapable of doing so. The problem that we have in the game at the moment, and I think, you know, in the next couple of months or more, I'll talk about it more. But look, the problem is the system itself. The problem is that the politics are deeply entrenched. I saw, the nice thing was I was able to see it personally during the recent election, and that gave me a real insight into how the system itself needs to change. Okay? And it's riven by politics. It's riven by self-interest, our game. I think in many ways we've gone backwards. And it, the system itself needs to change. Now, people need to understand that I can change that, okay? But I cannot just go in as one person and try and work within what is the current scenario. It's not going to work. All it's going to do is it's not going to help the game. It's certainly not going to help. It's not going to allow me to make the changes that are necessary. We need fundamental cultural and we need fundamental structural change. I'm happy to make it, but the football community is going to have to make the decision that it's time for that to occur.
In your mind, what should happen with the role of the Australian women's coach?
Well, the first thing you need is a thorough review. And now I haven't really been across it.
Right.
You know, I've had my head completely out of it. But what I have seen, it broke just before I left, just before I sort of really started working for Hakeem's case. It's very, very simple. You need a thorough, independent, external review into all of the conduct included, and that includes the board. Why is that? It's because I understand that people are talking about senior management, and that certainly needs a review. But actually, the board's conduct throughout this process has been, in many ways, in my view, reprehensible. And they need to have the confidence of all of the football community that they're working ethically, that they're working appropriately, that no director's responsibilities have been breached. I'm quite sure some of them have. So you need a thorough independent review from the top. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you'll make a couple of management scapegoats and all of a sudden people will move on. That's not good enough. So I'll be interested in the next few weeks whether that occurs. I think there'll be some reticence to do that. If the board is then able to just put in an internal review or even external, just senior management, I don't think it goes anywhere near close enough because that's one of the problems here. We're talking about the governance of the game. This is what I saw in Asia and this is what I saw with FIFA.
Yes.
It's the governance, actually, that is the main part of the problem, and we need a review into that now.
Well, Craig, what you were able to do for the young man, Hakeem, when you're dealing with Thai governments, Bahrainian regimes, and bring the football world together, to the fact that you, all, you know, quite incredibly, you even had Robbie Slater endorsing you for your position on the FFA.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just incredible.
No, Robbie and I have made up. We're all getting older.
Exactly. You know,
through that time, all of our Arnie and Graham, Arnie and Robbie and Ange and everyone, we've all had some great discussions. We're getting older now. It's time to move on.
Yeah.
And we all want to help the game. We all want to turn the game around. And it's going to take that. It's going to take all of us, all of the former players, all of those legends working together now to actually get our game where we need it, because we need fundamental change.
Mm. Congratulations on what you've been able to achieve. And I don't mean at all from a football point of view, from a human rights point of view. And great to have you on the program today, Craig.
Thanks, guys. My pleasure.
Thanks so
Craig
much,
Foster,
Craig.
Former Socceroo, with some very strong words on what he thinks is happening at the FFA.
He's forthright and honest in his opinions. A quick tweet that came out. I want to run this past you, Jim. Not to distract from Hakeem's moment of freedom here, but just want to note that Craig Foster, the guy deemed too divisive for the FFA chair, has united millions across the global football community and harnessed a political power to ultimately save a footballer's life. It says it all, doesn't it? This is a man who knows Australian football backwards, and just from those comments at the end of that interview, gee, he wouldn't be misplaced running football in Australia, would he?
Maybe there was a greater calling than just be a person on the FFA board.
But in that last bit of the interview, you could hear the passion. He wants to get involved and help Australian football, doesn't he?
Take your thoughts on it, 13:53:53.
Join us Monday morning, 5:30. We're going to be following it live, the World Club Challenge Wigan against the Roosters.
We'll wrap up the All-Stars concept. We'll also talk about Super Rugby, and we'll see who the winner of the Big Bash final was.
All that from 5:30.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta.
The very best of US racing 7 days a week.
Gunrunners on top of the world! He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic!
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
China Doll, the award-winning restaurant located at the historic Finger Wharf at Woolloomooloo, takes creative dining in Sydney to another level. China Doll offers an innovative menu, impressive cocktail list, personalised service and spectacular views of the Sydney skyline. Their menu showcases a modern take on culinary traditions from China, Hong Kong, Japan and Southeast Asia. And the chilli, salt, squid and king prawns are out of this world, and we will be a chance of sampling those next week.
Sunday.
Yeah,
can't
looking
wait.
Forward to that. Dine where the racing industry dines. Dine where Ray Thomas dines. All under the expert eye of restaurateur Steve Anastasio. For bookings, call 02-9380-6744. That's 9380-6744. Or visit the website chinadoll.com.au.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Sydney FC made up for its heartbreaking loss to Melbourne City in last year's W League Grand Final with a 4-2 victory over Perth to take this season's trophy late yesterday, their first in six seasons. The just over 6,000 crowd at Cogra Oval weren't disappointed, with 27 attempts on goal in a free-flowing end-to-end contest. In the A-League last night, a near-faultless 4-0 win from Perth over Brisbane has seen the Glory go 9 points clear on top of the table. The Wanderers beat Adelaide 3-1. The Crusaders opened their Super Rugby title defence with a dramatic 24-22 win over the Blues in Auckland, aided by two penalty tries. Meanwhile, at Brookvale, just as dramatic a finish, with the Hurricanes 20 pipping the Waratahs 19. Elsewhere, the Bulls 40 beat the Stormers 3 and the Rebels 34 over the Brumbies 27. Plenty happening in basketball. Canberra defeated Adelaide in the third game of the Grand Final Series 93-73 to win the WNBL title for the eighth time, while the Sydney Kings are officially into the NBL Final Series for the first time since 2013. The Kings beat Cairns yesterday 89-84, and they have to wait to find out whether they'll finish second or third when Melbourne host Perth today. Kings fans are hoping for a Wildcats victory in order to finish second and get two home matches in the three-match match final series. Last night, Brisbane beat New Zealand 84-78 to grab the fourth and last final spot. And tonight, the game's MVP will be announced at the awards night in Melbourne. Poster Boy made a late surge to narrowly beat an unlucky Ashley Locas to win the Group 1 Chariots of Fire at Tabcorp Park Menangle last night. Hale Christian came in third. Still with racing, and trainer Jenny Graham can secure her second consecutive country championships qualifier when she lines up hot favourite Awesome Pluck at Port Macquarie today. Last year, Jenny trained the trifecta in the Port Macquarie heat, which was won by Victorum, who then went on to win the country championships final at Randwick. Chris Waller has told us this morning that Winx has pulled up well after her win yesterday in the Apollo Stakes and has had a saltwater ice bath. Brighton and Hove defeated Derby County 2-1 to reach the quarterfinals of the English FA Cup overnight, where they'll be joined by Millwall, who beat Wimbledon 1-0. Man City also threw after a 4-1 away win over Newport. It's an all-Melbourne affair today when the BBL wraps up with the final at Marvel Stadium. The Stars play the Renegades, the match to start at 2:45. Wigan coach Adrian Lamb says his side is revelling in the role of underdogs ahead of their World Club Challenge against the Roosters. The Super League versus NRL Champions match is due to kick off at 6 a.m. tomorrow in front of a crowd of over about 20,000 at DW Stadium in Wigan. Adam Scott is in a tie for the lead at 11 under very late in the second round of the rain interrupted Genesis Golf Open in California. Tiger Woods has just made the cut by one shot. He's in the clubhouse at 1 under. While American Nelly Korda has a 3-shot lead heading into today's final round of the Australian Golf Open in Adelaide. The best placed Aussie is Hannah Green. She's at 6 under. Now, Nelly is shutting out any thoughts of continuing the astounding stretch of sporting success by the Korda family in Australia. As we know, Peter Korda, her father, won the Australian Tennis Open.
Mm-hmm.
Her sister, Jessica, won the Australian Open Golf Tournament 7 years ago. And her brother, Sebastian, took out the Australian Open Boys Tennis title last year.
Gee,
holy Toledo, that man.
Talented family
there. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Underachieving family, isn't it?
Now, the MVP race is the closest in history for the NBL to be announced tonight. Andrew Bogut, obviously one of those up for the award. Also with Perth's Bryce Cotton and Melbourne's Casper Ware. Yesterday, late in the game against Cairns, when Bogut got the ball, the crowd were yelling, MVP, MVP, when he touched the ball late.
What, are you all American now or something else?
Yeah, it sounds like it. But you know what? He's started all 28 games this season, and he leads the league in rebounds and blocks. So he's got to go pretty close
his
to getting that title. Mm. Yeah, it would be great if he does. So, we'll look out to see who wins that tonight.
Thank you, Tan. Sports up there, update there from Tanya Thomas, the Sydney Kings media officer. Why do you get these tickets? I fair dicker.
We pay for them.
You do. Give me a break. 1353 53, the open line number. We have had some fascinating SMS this morning from our listeners, Raymond. So let's position it this way. Morning, fellas. What are your thoughts on the Indigenous guys not singing the national anthem? Someone should remind them that there would not be a game had our country not developed the way we have. That comes in from Phil. Then we get this, Paul from Huskisson. Boys, I watched the footy on Friday night with my wife, Gail. And as we watched the NZ anthem, the team were in tears. When the Australian anthem was played, the Indigenous team had no reaction at all. And we talked about it, and we both agreed maybe it would be more appropriate for an Indigenous song to be played. I realise we're all Aussies together, but it just may mean more to our Indigenous people. Thoughts?
It's a divisive issue, isn't it?
What's your thoughts on it, Raymond?
I just think a game like the Indigenous All-Stars game should unite people. Shouldn't be used as a political division, which
right.
is...
Mal Meninga's come out and said there should be a referendum on the national anthem.
I just don't think that it's the right vehicle, but...
And tell me why, from your point of view. You were talking about it off-air.
Okay. As an ex-serviceman, I was in the services for a while. The flag in Australia means a lot, and it means a lot to a lot of Australians.
Of
and
course.
I know it
of
means
course.
Different things to Indigenous Australians, but I'm very much behind the flag and the anthem.
Sure. I think the way that New Zealand are inclusive of their Indigenous peoples is a blueprint for every other nation in the world. And the fact that part of their anthem is sung in Maori or in the Maori language and then in English, I think is a great balance between the peoples that live on in that country.
That's it. Perfect point. Must respect both cultures in Australia, if I can put it that way.
Yes.
Indigenous culture and the culture we have now. embrace them both. Why can't it be inclusive rather than exclusive?
It's not that good a song anyway, Advance Australia Fair.
What do you want, Waltzing Matilda?
No, no, that's, new that's song? Not representative. Yeah, something new. Something new. A collaboration between different artists, maybe. I don't know. But
shouldn't be a divisive issue. Should be a way to bring the Australians together somehow.
That's a very good point that you make. 1353 53, the open line number. Before we get to Phil Moss, we thought we'd get some callers on the line. Robbo is there. Hello, Robbo.
Morning, lads.
Morning, Robbo.
The stewards are inquiring into the quiz.
I tell you what.
Why?
I feel sorry for Stu. He's been absolutely robbed today.
Well, he's lodged a protest, apparently.
Oh, has he? What?
He'd be going all the way to the High Court if I was him.
Well, I hope you got plenty of money there, Jim.
God, we'll defend our position until the cows come. Let me say, now Judy's chimed in again. Steve, that's a note to producer Steve. Steve, just bring it to an end with my suggestion, which was rob me of my point, give it to Ray. Don't expect the guy to come back. Everyone would be happy except Jimmy, which I think is the way Judy would like it.
And this is from Kieran from Wimmera. G'day. If I could go back in time, we'll be back to February 17 at approximately 8:50 a.m. so that farce of a quiz could start again. I'm even thinking Jimmy should get a one-game suspension for giving away an answer. There's got to be an investigation. That's from Kieran from Wimmera. I like that one.
Yes.
What do you reckon, Robbo?
Oh, well, now get Jeff Toovey on it.
Exactly, yeah. Got to be an investigation.
the time capsule.
Yeah?
Yeah. Two I've got for that. One, I would like to be in the 1936 Berlin Olympics.
Yes.
Jesse Owens just stuck it up him.
Yep, a few people have mentioned that very thing, Robbo, yeah.
Yeah, and your second one?
Was a race finish, more than anything, in I think it was the 1973 AJC Derby.
Ah, yes.
And it was a three-horse war all the way down the straight, and I think it was Imagile, Grand Citium, and Like a Lover.
Yeah, Imagile beat Like a Lover, and Grand Citium was third. And you're right, one of the all-time great races. 1973 right. AJC Derby, Imagile completing the Triple Crown that year.
I was out there. I was on the
side. Okay.
Yeah, and you just couldn't hear the race caller.
Mm.
And every stride, one horse put its head in front of the others.
Yeah, one of the great races.
Mm. It was you had to be there to really appreciate how it was. It was Tommy, and Imagile incidentally fell in the Golden Slipper.
That's right, he did. Broke a couple of ribs, and Kevin Langdon was very badly hurt. Your odds-on favourite that year.
Exactly right. Just on the just before the turn from
that's
memory.
Right. Three horses fell. Iago, Baron Bold, as well as Imagile.
So. Good on you, Robbo. Good nominations there. Now we had is it Murrurundi?
Murrurundi. Yeah,
Murrurundi. Eagle had a bit of a go at Don from Carlton, and Don's responded. After years of my relentless abuse of the Seagulls and their supporters, I despaired of ever receiving reciprocal abuse. Well done, Murrurundi Eagle. Who had a go at Donald a bit earlier. Which phone booth do you and Zorba hold your fan days in? So, there you go.
We've got some very clever listeners, haven't we?
And Don. 1353 53 is the open line number. Time now to talk some football. And we do that with Phil Moss. Hello, Mossy.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
How are you, Phil?
Well, did you hear the Craig Foster interview?
I didn't. I'm down in Canberra, Jimmy. My apologies, I didn't. But I will say, as a former teammate of Fozzie, I have to say how proud I am of him for the wonderful work he did in that campaign, and just his ability to manoeuvre, politics between three countries and bring FIFA into it as well was outstanding.
Yep. Do yourself a favour, Mossy. Listen to the podcast. He says some very forthright, honest things. But you can see why people want him. Running the game here.
Mm.
Yeah. Look, he's certainly got a fantastic brain and way about him, and he knows football inside and out. So, I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it's more a matter of when Fozzie will be involved in running the game at one of the elite levels.
Sam Kerr doesn't win. I don't know. Everyone's a little shocked at that. Well done, Sydney FC.
Yeah, that's right. It was the builders, Caitlin Ford up against Sam Kerr, and to be honest, both of them had reasonably quiet afternoons. Kerr scored from a penalty spot. Caitlin Ford was quiet by her standards, but she did a lot of work off the ball and drew defenders to her, which freed up players around her, which sometimes goes sight unseen, especially on the TV. But, yeah, look, a wonderful performance by Sydney FC, fully deserved champions, their third title. Ante Juric has done a wonderful job putting together a squad that plays a fantastic brand of football. And I have to say, the quality of the goals yesterday, you know, Sophia Herter in particular, the first goal, and also Chloe Legazzo, who scored an absolute bomb, and Savannah McCaskill, who now scored two, but her second one from the head. Caitlin Ford Cross put it on a dime for her, but she spotted the keeper off the line and got it on target. Wonderful quality for a grand final. It was played, unfortunately, on a substandard pitch.
More about that. Hey, just like on women's football, Mossy, what's latest with Alan Stachic?
Well, there's no real latest, Ray, apart from some calls from some pretty high places. Our own Robbie Slater and Alan Jones during the week calling for reinstatement, and obviously independent inquiries into how the decision was arrived at. So there is pressure building for something to give. There's no doubt about that. But Alan's holding up pretty well. He was in the house yesterday for the W League Grand Final at the invitation of Sydney FC. He's a Hall of Famer for Sydney FC, so it was great to see him, his wife Brenda, and girls, you know, out and about at the showpiece event.
All right, let's talk some A League, mate. Some of these results, it's really interesting, isn't it? The Wanderers 3-1 over Adelaide United. Glory, no surprise there, the big win. But the Newcastle Jets pumping Melbourne City.
Well, you could say a second-string Newcastle Jets as well, and that's with all due respect to the players that took the field for Newcastle, but they've got a very, very heavy schedule. They played Procedure Jakarta in that ACL qualifier during the week. That went to 120 minutes, and they flew out straight after the game, I think the next morning, to Japan to take on Kashima Antlers for a spot in the main draw. So Ernie Merrick tinkered big time with his lineup, but they came up trumps, and you can only say that Melbourne City would have gone home licking their wounds, because that's a fantastic opportunity gone missing for them, and Warren Joyce will be no doubt chewing a wasp on the way back to Melbourne.
Hey, Mossy, Wanderers are finding a bit of form, and Sydney FC really need to win this afternoon.
Yeah, that's right, Ray. Look, I think Western Sydney are finally listening to the message of their coach, Marcus Bubble. He keeps saying you need to stand up if you want to remain at the club. It looks as though he's got the full support of Paul Lederer and the board to stay. So he's going to be rebuilding a squad. And some players really stood up. Rolly Bonavarsia, I think, was one who really caught the eye, scored a goal and later on an assist. Had a late chance to score a second for his side. But, look, overall, it was a good performance by Western Sydney. They were clinical, if nothing else, in front of goals. Took their three chances well. Big opportunity missed for Adelaide, similar fashion to Melbourne City, missing their chance to go 3 points further ahead. But, yeah, look, Sydney, you know, 3 points today against the Mariners, and it's a banana skin that they will know they have to avoid after slipping over in Brisbane last week. But certainly they can go second on the table and just keep that heat on Perth Glory. But Perth just seem to be flying at the moment. They were absolutely exceptional in the way they created and scored their goals against Brisbane last night.
Well, if they don't win today, it should be an inquiry. No, I'm serious.
It's an inquiry of Don, Jimmy.
Exactly, yeah.
Just on the Wanderers too, we spoke to Mitch Duke during the course of the week, and he said, yeah, we think we can still make the six.
Well, they can. Yeah.
Look, Duke, who I've worked with up at the Mariners, he's a very positive person.
Sounds like.
The glass is always half full, but I beg to differ on that one, mate.
Okay. 12 right. Points behind.
But things went their way this week.
Oh, look, you can never say never, but I beg to differ. I don't see, with eight games remaining, I can't see, and this is the thing, they have to win all their games, but there also has to be a monumental slip-up from one of those teams in the top six, and I just can't see it. Although Adelaide and Melbourne City were poor this weekend, I can't see them slipping up that badly to miss the top six.
All right, so what are you prepared to do if Mitchell Duke and the Western Sydney Wanderers make the semi-finals? Come on, Moss.
He's looking for the cart and the beer.
No.
What am I prepared to do? What do you want to put on it, Jimmy?
I want you to turn up the Western Sydney Wanderers fan, a training session in a Wanderer shirt.
Mate, I can't do that. I'm impartial.
That's a cop-out.
I will personally get Mitch Paduke on the Sunday morning program, and I will apologise to him on air.
There you go. That's fair.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, we'll accept that.
Yeah, fair enough.
You happy with that?
Yeah, I'm accepting of that.
You should see the smile on Jimmy's face here, Mike.
I can feel him writing
exactly.
it down.
Yeah, actually, he's writing it down in his little book. What is written in that book, by the way? It's extraordinary. Hey, Mossy.
Eyes,
I know. No Premier League overnight, but a lot of FA Cup action.
Yeah, there was. Manchester City avoided a banana skin against Newport County. Phil Foden got a couple of goals there. Matt Ryan was rested, didn't take any part in Brighton's 2-1 win over Derby. So those two teams qualify for the quarterfinals. And your boys, Jimmy, they're off to Chelsea to take them on tomorrow morning, I believe. Some big news building around Manchester United, by the way, about the potential sale of the club. Here's some figures that are going to blow your mind. $6.8 billion, that's not really surprising, from Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. He's a number that will blow you away. He's only 33 years of age, but he's part of the Saudi royal family, and they are worth $850 billion. The Glazer family bought Manchester United for £790 million 14 years ago, and they stand to make a profit of a tidy £2.2 billion if they sell it.
Wow.
That's called good business. Would that be the most expensive?
Big money.
There's always talk around which is the most expensive sports franchise in the world, and there's three names that always come up: Manchester United, the New York Yankees, and the Dallas Cowboys. But that price would see them rocket to number one, would have thought.
Without doubt. And you know, one of the reasons that's been put forward publicly over there is that they would like to rival Manchester City, who are owned by Sheikh Mansour of the Abu Dhabi royal family. So it's a little bit of a, and I'll say this with all due respect, but a little bit of a plaything between royal families.
Of course it is. It'll allow Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to go to the market in the transfer period if he is named as the full-time coach.
But guess what else, just quickly, Jimmy?
Yes?
Sir Alex Ferguson's making his comeback to management. Heard it here first on Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. He is going to coach. He's going to be the guest coach for Manchester United against Bayern Munich on May 26th. For a 1999 treble tribute game.
Oh, wow.
Between Manchester United and Bayern Munich, and it raises money for the Manchester United Foundation.
Is Bozza going?
Was he in that squad? 1999, yes.
We'll have to ask him.
Yeah, they should get. I know how highly regarded he is by Sir Alex. Didn't in his book he said, Mark Bosnich, we went away on a trip and he tried to eat the menu.
No comment. Given I work with Bozza, as you do, Jimmy, we have to be very, very careful what we say about this man.
Nah, he's a champ.
Nice bloke.
Any other draws you want to tip following Chelsea and Man City last week?
It had to come, Mossy.
What about Sydney FC against Central Coast? Go on, tip a draw there.
No draw there. I think Sydney FC will have learnt their lesson against Brisbane and they'll get the job done.
And give us a score then. Correct score?
4-0.
4-0. Okay, thanks for that. I've just written down...
And Gucci will score his first goal for Sydney FC.
Nice. We look forward to that. Just writing down in my book, Phil Moss apologised on air to Mitchell Duke, Wanderers playoffs. Okay. All right. Good stuff, Mossy.
Good on you, boys. Enjoy your Sunday.
You too. Phil Moss with all the latest in the world of football. 1353 53 is the open line number. We've got our third quiz question. We've got our third quiz question, which is, Raymond?
What is it, James? Were you thinking?
Yeah, I'm giving you a little bit of thinking music there. Okay. What scoreline? Who is it that Phil Moss will apologise to on air? Phil Moss will apologise to on air should the Wanderers make the semi-finals?
So if you know all three answers, call now.
For a $150 voucher, courtesy of China Doll, chinadoll.com.au.
On 1353 53.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem.
Punters Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio is the best way to reflect on all the weekend's racing. With analysis from Ron Duffercy and Dean Lester, plus your calls. Sydney Radio's longest running program. Punters Postmortem. Monday morning at 9 on Sky Sports Radio.
The Polytrack Provincial Championships are back. Experience Sunday racing at its finest at Hawkesbury Race Club's first provincial qualifier on Sunday, February 24. Featuring live music, kids entertainment and great prizes. Treat your family to a fun day at the races. Catch the train and hop off at Clarendon or park for free. Entry only $10. Free for ATC members, children, concession card holders and TAB Rewards members. Details and bookings at hawkesburyraceclub.com.au.
Get behind Place of Purpose, Australia's new not-for-profit raffle. You could win big with $500,000 in prizes on offer in every raffle. Plus, $5 from every $10 ticket directly supports a local grassroots sporting club or charity of your choice. With Place of Purpose, it's a win-win. Tickets available online at placeofpurpose.com.au. And please, play responsibly. New South Wales permit number GOCAU/2086.
Lovely play here, Bernat, Di Maria, Mbappe, superb! United cut apart at Old Trafford.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, United, well, they were $6.8 billion, so they might have been cut apart at Old Trafford. But
the time machine, the time machine sport topic's going berserk. In my time machine, I'd like to go back and find out how Ray caught tenure. He's got a better batting average than Brabnitz from H. Well, I can say unequivocally, I'm batting outside my crease.
I tell you what, I will say this from Tanya's point of view, cookies.
Oh,
a way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Chip.
My cousin would love to go back to the 2005 grand final, where he met his now ex-wife. Poor bloke still paying for it. Dave, you can't say that. This has been a theme too. Newsflash, Ray Murray appointed to BSB quiz inquiry. That's Ray from... I'll tell you what, there's I want that Murray bloke nowhere near the quiz. He gets to the bottom of things.
That's a massive controversy.
I don't want him anywhere near it.
I think we've got a winner. Is that right, Tanya? Yeah, John from Blackbutt. He's our winner.
John from Blackbutt. Yeah. Congratulations. And you won $150.
To China Doll, which we're going next Sunday, I'll
tell
you. Now, the three answers were, James...
Sam Clippenden would like to go back in the time machine and see Farlap. Run in the 1930s.
What's Des Hasler?
Mitchell Duke is the man that Phil Moss will apologise to on air. And Des arrived late. Des Hasler arrived late to dinner during the course of the week, so that he didn't have to pay for parking.
Exactly. So John from Blackbutt, congratulations, mate.
Let's go to one of our two Victorian listeners now that we've had revelations during
John from St Kilda.
From St Kilda is joining us with Trent from. Well, where from? Trent, where are you from?
I'm in the Melbourne studio. Jimmy, good morning to you and Ray. It was great to meet John yesterday from St Kilda and just advise him to send through a text.
Oh, okay.
Very nice of him. And also, fellas, you've been talking about going back in time for sporting moments in history. I tell you what, Jimmy, there's no danger that you would have disrupted Tony Barber or Glenn Ridge on Sail the Century with what you cocked up this morning.
If only I had Delveen Delaney sitting next to me.
I feel so sorry for Stu. But Stu's back on next week. Thankfully, Trent. Hey, Trent.
He was robbed.
Absolutely. John from St Kilda. He's been giving it to us about Melbourne being the sporting capital of the universe. Well, you've got the Big Bash final on this afternoon.
It's the Big Bash final that we deserve,
fellas.
The Melbourne Renegades up against the Melbourne Stars. I will say, though, guys, I hope there is a crowd because I was actually there on Friday night at Marvel Stadium for the great run chase, the Renegades against the Sydney Sixers, it was a poor atmosphere, unfortunately, with just over 15,000 there. But hopefully, 2:45 this afternoon at Marvel Stadium, there's a good attendance. The Renegades are $2 and the Stars are $1.85. For the Renegades high bat, Aaron Finch, still trying to get over that shot on Friday night. The $3.25 favourite, Marcus Harris at $4.50, Sam Harper at $5.50, then Cameron White at $7. And for the Stars high bat, Marcus Stoinis is the $3.25 favourite. Ben Dunk, Peter Hanscom and Glenn Maxwell are all $5 chances. But once again, guys, only hope that there's a much bigger crowd and that hopefully it's a great game. I know the result didn't go for yourselves' way on Friday night, but that was a tremendous match, and hopefully it's just as good for the final this afternoon.
You said that with so much joy and completely without sincerity. Just on that, Aaron Finch, worst shot I've ever seen in domestic cricket. Yeah. Worst shot I've ever seen in domestic cricket. Thanks for your editorial on that.
Trent.
NBA game. Now, this is big. Melbourne United win. They get the home semi-final.
If they lose,
it'll be the Kings v Melbourne United at home. Ray and Tanya will be there front and centre.
I tell you what, I'm scratching my head about how Melbourne United lost to Cairns on Thursday night. That's an even bigger one, but they can redeem themselves today. They are $1.52 to beat the Perth Wildcats at $2.55, a $2.50 start at Melbourne Arena. And as you touched on, you've got Perth who are on top at the moment with an 18-9 record, Sydney with an 18-10 record, and Melbourne United with a 17-10 record. So it's all up for grabs. Brisbane, they know they're in the finals. They've just got to wait for their opponent. But that is the big one today, fellas. There's no NBA game. It's the All-Star weekend. So you'll get to see on ESPN today the slam dunk contest, the three-point shootout. And because it's in Charlotte, I would expect that Stephen Curry to really be a big chance to win that one, considering that his father, Dell, played a number of years with the Charlotte Hornets. I think Steph Curry would be primed to win the three-point shootout this afternoon.
Fair enough. Sydney FC up against Central Coast Mariners. An important game, this one, for Sydney FC, Trent.
5 o'clock at Leichhardt Oval. Sydney FC, $1.30. The draw, $5.50. And Central Coast, $9.50 there. And just on Mossy's tip about Sydney FC to win 4-0, that is currently $15. With the FA Cup, there's no real big draw cards tonight in the fifth round. You've got Wolverhampton, they're $1.87 away to Bristol City, that's at midnight. And Crystal Palace are $1.68 away to Doncaster Rovers, that's at 3 in the morning. Just for Chelsea against Manchester United, that is 6:30 on our Tuesday morning. Chelsea at $2, the draw at $3.50, and Manchester United $3.50. And I know that you'll be waking up, Jimmy, for 6 o'clock tomorrow morning at DW Stadium, Wigan against the Sydney Roosters. You mentioned it earlier. Wigan are $3.50. The Sydney Roosters are $1.30. The line is 8.5 and in the margin betting. The favoured weight, the Roosters by 13 plus, $2.25. There's plenty happening, fellas. The Country Championships qualifier at Port Macquarie this afternoon. You can check out the markets at your local tab, tab.com.au and the Tab app.
Who are you going for today, just out of interest, the Stars or the Renegades?
I only go for the Stars slightly over the Renegade, Jimmy, because Hawthorn play at the MCG. If the AFL team I support was at Marvel Stadium, I might go for the Renegades. But Cricket will be the winner on the day because Melbourne will finally have a team that wins the Big Bash final.
Enough of this. Okay, good luck to you.
You Victorians are genuinely weird. There is sport outside of AFL. Trent, the sport's outside of AFL.
Yes, and we were at Amy Park on Friday night.
And by the way, when you say you're from tab.com.au, I actually believe you. I think you have set up a little, the couch.
He sleeps here on the couch.
Have you got the toiletries in the toilet?
Locker, haven't you, Trent?
Yeah.
You just have to make sure that if you are prepared to stay overnight, that you are able to clean yourself up for the next morning. Of course, I've got toiletries in the locker.
Yeah. Yeah, no, fair enough. Good on you, mate.
Personal here. Thanks,
we'll speak again. What those toiletries are, I'm not prepared to delve into at this point. 1353, 53, the open line. Just before we get to Greek, Jim, you would more likely end up with Strop than Delveen. That comes to mind. Thank you very much. You're probably exactly right. Hello, Greg.
Yeah, morning, boys.
Morning, Greg.
Yeah, just missed the 71 Miracle Mile when Mount Eden galloped out, came round and still won.
Yeah, the great Mount Eden.
You've spoken about that a number of times, haven't you? Were you there?
Oh, not, no, I was living in Perth. We used to go and watch Mount Eden.
Your dad used
Gloucester
to take
Park,
it, didn't he? Yeah, yeah.
So, great horse. He used to miss the start by 100 yards sometimes and still win. So,
who was that horse that we used to watch in the US only about 7 or 8 years ago that used to miss the start by 20 lengths?
Zenyatta,
that's right. Zenyatta.
Great Zenyatta.
Yeah.
And on the very last start, the jockey missed the got his compass all wrong, got his timing all wrong, and she ran second. He left it too late.
Yeah, there you go. Good on you. Hey, we've got to find our winners today. Just before we get to our winner of our Wingman and Winks competition, coming up on Racing HQ, Roman, Gary Cleese is going to preview the Country Championships qualifier at Port Macquarie today. Short price favourite there in Awesome Pluck. Mm-hmm. John Scorse is going to look at Nowra. And, of course, the BSB back tomorrow morning at 5.30.
And of course, Greg Radley will be up at Port Macquarie today with Gary Cleese and Priscilla Looker for a big coverage of the Country Championships qualifier.
We've had our Event Cinemas quiz winner, controversial. China Doll, long-time listener comp winner. Well done, John from Blackbutt. Our Wingman and Winks, best contribution to the program.
What have you decided, James?
Goes to Pete, who made mention of the 1969 Queen Elizabeth Stand opening.
Oh, yeah, W. McCarthy.
There we go.
McCarthy.
W. McCarthy. Back-to-back winners, 40 minutes apart. So, good on you, Pete. You are our winner of the Wingman beer and the Winks book, as written by Raymond Thomas.
That's about it, James. It's almost 10 o'clock.
Really enjoyed today's show, and great listening to not only Chris Waller, but Craig Foster.
He was
give us some great insight as well.
You going to watch the Big Bash?
No, we'll probably...